The views and opinions expressed by the guests of the Inspira podcast do not necessarily represent the official policy or position of any agency of the United States government or any organization, public or private.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to the Inspira podcast, hosted by your girl, me, Erica Mueller Chen. I'm an international development specialist with over a decade of experience leveraging the amazing power of sport to promote peace and positive social impact. My career has allowed me to live in Europe, Southern Africa, and Latin America. In 2022, I accepted an offer for my dream job in sports diplomacy. And I also became an employee family member to a U.S. diplomat, aka an EFM. This podcast is all about inspiration and career advice. Each episode, I'll interview an inspirational global changemaker working in sport for development, social impact, or the diplomatic service. This series is perfect if you have interest in breaking into one of these sectors, or you've already landed that dream role and are keen to learn from thought leaders. Enjoy today's episode and stay inspired.
Imagine your 12-year-old self and you've just arrived in a new country, not because you wanted to, but because you needed to. You left all your friends behind, relatives, perhaps siblings, and even a parent. You don't speak the language and don't understand what people are saying. Everything is different. Then imagine seeing others your age playing a game that you're familiar with. The emotion for you to join, and without saying a word, you're in. That soccer without borders, this is what we provide. A sense of belonging.
Bienvenidos, Bruno y amigos. Buenas tardes. Estoy muy emocionada de estar con ustedes hoy y tener la oportunidad de escuchar y aprender. Creo que eres muy inspirador y también lo es el fútbol sin fronteras o soccer without borders. Entonces, en inglés, welcome Bruno and friends. Good afternoon from where we are right now. I'm so excited to be with you today and to have the opportunity to listen and learn. I think you, Bruno, are so inspirational, and so is the organization Soccer Without Borders. I added a bit of Spanish intro here as a little bit of a tribute to Bruno's origins in Mexico, which is also the country I'm currently living in. Bruno Contreras came to Boston from Mexico City in 2016, arriving with beginner English skills and a wealth of experience building youth development programs for youth through soccer. Joining Soccer Without Borders right away, he quickly became entrenched in the Soccer Without Borders community in Boston. In 2020, he was named director and has since overseen the program's expansion in the greater Boston and Springfield areas. Hola, Bruno. ¿Qué tal? How are you? And where are you calling us from?
Hi, Erica. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. And thank you for, like, there's like so many things happening like in the sport for youth development. And I'm glad that somebody's like gathering like all the people and like, yeah, sharing like their story. I'm calling you from Boston, Massachusetts. Yeah.
Perfect. And thank you, as I mentioned before I press record, for not laughing at me trying to add a little bit of the Spanish there. It's a work in progress. As you know, I've called this podcast Inspira, and so I also like to start with a little bit of inspiration at the beginning and hopefully at the end, if not the whole part of the interview. But I wanted to share, Bruno, that you specifically inspire me because of your deep commitment to using the sport of football or soccer for social impact and for good. And specifically, I really want to acknowledge your own journey coming to a new country, which I'm sure we'll chat a little bit about, and how you now have decided to serve as a role model, a football coach, and a leader for others who may also be newcomers in their own way to the U.S. So that's just such a special and challenging responsibility that you've taken on, and I'm really honored to have the chance to ask you some questions to learn a little bit more about why you do that work and how you do that work.
Thank you. Thank you. To give some background, I studied geography in UNAM, like Universidad Nacional Autónoma de México. So there's a concept in geography called non-place. It's like place and non-place. Non-place means transitory places where social actions cannot take place. And before immigrants got here to this country, to the US, many of them were in transitory non-places such as roads, shelters, deserts, airports. And my goal as director of SWB Massachusetts is to ensure that the program serves as a clear transition from such a non-places to a community that feels like home, that they can have this sense of belonging.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's really, really powerful. And I think will help the audience and myself enter this conversation thinking about the topic of geography. That being said, I would love it if you can take us back in time to Mexico City. What was it like growing up there? And because I know you're such a fabulous storyteller, I would love it if you can describe your experiences using the five senses.
I was thinking like I can combine like hearing and smelling. My parents met each other playing volleyball in Mexico City. There was a league among banks, and my mother worked for a bank like in the south of Mexico City. My dad was the coach, and my mom was the captain of the team. And one of my first memories as a kid is watching her playing volleyball, and I can remember like the smell of the gym, and the voice of my mom like cheering up her teammates. Like my mom in general, she was like very shy, but when she played soccer, like she used that captain voice. Sight, I need to say like the Aztec Stadium, also south of Mexico City. I remember like the first time that I went to a game with my uncle and my cousin at Aztec Stadium. Like, can you imagine like 100,000 people singing, like making like the Mexican wave around the stadium? So definitely that was like a very special moment as a kid. Taste. I'm part of one of the last generations who were able to play in the streets. And right now it's like really hard to do that. But I remember like after the pickup games, we usually go to an OXXO. Mm-hmm. It's like a convenience store, like very popular. You can find an OXXO in every single corner of Mexico. And we buy like a juice, and then we go to get some carnitas tacos, and mm-hmm. We share like the highlights of the game. So that was like my childhood. Like it was like really, really like a good childhood. Like and the last one, like touch. I was thinking the ritual of preparing your uniform a day before. A night before, yeah, like, and getting to the field at 6:30 a.m. to the fields of Tultitlan, Cuautitlan, that's like north of Mexico City. And like this special connection with my dad. I think like my dad is not like very like emotional, but like Saturdays, he was part of that ritual. You know? So there was like that special connection with my dad for 12, 15 years in a row. That was like our tradition, like Saturdays with my dad. So yeah, that's, I try to connect like places of Mexico City and soccer.
That's incredible. Thank you. Thank you for thinking of those reference points and painting some really vivid images and descriptions of some of those really special experiences for you, your friends, and your family. And did you have a favorite number for your uniform? Did you always have the same number that you tried to get?
Same number, 7.
7. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, I was number 11 in baseball and softball. So if anyone needs to remember what OXO is like, 7-Eleven in the U.S. I mean, there you go. Well, I understand you had a really important experience among many sporty experiences in Mexico City. And one specifically was with what's called the Otomi Indigenous Community. I'm curious if you can share a little bit more about that experience and maybe some of your initial experiences realizing that sport has this greater potential to promote social inclusion or just meaning.
Yeah, thank you. Before I moved to the US, I was living in La Roma Norte with my partner. La Roma is an iconic neighborhood in Mexico City, like full of restaurants, art galleries, and well, like recently home of a lot of foreigners. Probably a lot of people who listen to your podcast like completely know where is La Roma. In the midst of these like galleries and like opulence, you can see these like low-income buildings and houses made by like aluminum, where the Otomi community settled after the earthquake in 1986. And so when I lived there, like I saw kids all the time selling like candies and artisan dolls, very traditional from the Otomi community. But they were like midnight, like very late there. They were like by themselves. So I was curious, like I really like, I wanted to learn more about their story. I wanted to meet them. So there were a group of kids that I constantly see playing football in one of the small parks in La Roma. One day I just decided to go and ask if I could play with them. They accepted, and at the end of the pickup game, I asked them like, hey, like, would you like to start a team? And I can still like, remember their faces of excitement, like these 10, 11 years old boys, like, yes, yeah, let's do it. So after that day, like every Sunday afternoon for 1 year, we had soccer practices and we started with these 10 kids. We ended up being like 30 boys and 10 girls. We decided to name our team Barceloma. They love Barcelona at that time. And we all live in La Roma, so that was like the perfect name for the team. And I started to connect with local governments, like restaurants, community members to raise some funds for equipment and league fees. So we got our like Barcelona's uniform. We organized a workshop with the women of the Otomi community to teach others their embroidery technique. They have like special like embroidery technique. So for me, this was like in a small scale, the perfect example how sports can be used to change like paradigms. Because to be honest, like the kids who sell candies like in the restaurant, like most of the times they're like rejected all the time. They're like, that's the common thing, like in the neighborhood, that's the dynamic. So changing that dynamic in the neighborhood, that was important. Like how like we could use sport to include people who society usually exclude. For me, like really was so powerful. And If I'm here speaking with you, Erica, it's because of Sergio, Luis, Arturito, El Rolas, like that group of kids that really like shaped my my career, like really, like I'm here for them, because of them. Yeah.
Thank you, Bruno, for sharing that. And it goes to show how there's these opportunities, these windows where anybody, especially people who know a little bit about football and have this interest in bringing people together, can really start to make a difference and just provide some fun and hopefully a safe space for people using sport. And then it can build and grow. And you mentioned over 30 kids involved in that social inclusion piece, which is why sport for development and how sport for development comes into the conversation, because it's that sport plus idea. It's what else can and will sport do to really support the development of people and changing mindsets in a positive way. So that's a really amazing story and experience that you created and provided for others as well. I want to know now how you ended up in Boston and perhaps how that experience was moving from Mexico to the United States, I think back around 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2016. Well, my partner is from this area, like the Boston area. So that was always on our radar, like we were curious to know what Boston had for us. I was curious to live in another country. To be honest, it was hard. Like the first year in 2016, it was like emotionally charged. Like it's not only the normal grieving of saying bye to these kids. That it was like really hard, because I thought we were like creating something special, and I had to say bye, like in the middle of this collaboration and with this community. Also, like I was saying bye to my network, my family. That also like the fear of uncertainty. Like, am I gonna find a welcome community? Am I gonna find a place where I can contribute, find a place to work. And if you remember, like that fall, like the Trump administration started, and like using propaganda anti-immigrant and especially against Mexicans. So definitely that was like, like a little bit scared, plus the language barrier. Like that moment I didn't have like good English foundation. So having that barrier like made you feel completely isolated. And if you add the winter, like that everybody like in like their house at 4 p.m. So definitely was a challenging moment, but starting that year with SWB, I think that was like the best timing to mitigate those new challenges. I felt that I was like in this bubble, like I saw the news, but like in my day by day, I was with people who really like value me and take care of me. So definitely, yeah, it was the beginning challenging, but it was great to have this first community that welcomed me. Mm-hmm.
How much time do you think it took for you to feel more comfortable with being in the Boston area?
Mm-hmm. I read a study. It says like around after your fifth year, you're like really adapting. I was like, really? Too much. Come on. But I think a switch was when I was when I became the director.
Okay.
Like I took ownership of that position. I was like, okay, like I think I'm a leader right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like supporting these new communities, and that switch definitely helped me and pushed me to feel like more comfortable here.
Mm-hmm. right before the 5-year mark. So you're ahead of the research. Yeah, and I would imagine it would have been interesting for you. I know you mentioned, and we'll talk about it in just a second, Soccer Without Borders, getting involved in that organization within your first year or so of being there, because it sounds like you were probably experiencing a lot of the feelings and challenges, frankly speaking, that some of the participants could be experiencing. Quick break here to highlight what I consider to be a fabulous resource that I've created for any listeners out there interested in learning more about the Sport for Development and Peace sector. You've come to the right place. In addition to Inspira podcast episodes that you can listen to, I've created a written resource that you can read, which currently has over 90 items I've curated from my own experience and vetted with other experts in the field. These include databases to find award-winning organizations, links to reports, books, and research, as well as recommended newsletters and recorded webinars, all Sport for Dev related. I encourage you to have a look. You can find this resource by visiting my link tree listed in each episode's show notes, then clicking Erica's Global Resource Hub. That's right, Erica's Global Resource Hub. If you like what you read and what you hear, I'd love it if you could give Inspira a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and write a kind review. That would be so energizing for me, and it would help Inspira reach more ears. Thanks, and back to the show. So let's talk about Soccer Without Borders. I am curious why and how you got your foot in the door at that organization, and anything about that experience of adapting to a different country and culture that maybe allows you to relate in a really unique and helpful way to Soccer Without Borders participants now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, like, there was a lot of like uncertainty in like the beginning of my time here in the US, but I had one clear conviction that I wanted to continue my professional like pathway, like in soccer for inclusion, like sport for youth development. So I applied to 6-7 nonprofit organizations as an AmeriCorps Vista, to do a year of service. I don't have any experience here, like professional experience. So probably that this is like the first step. So actually my first interview was with Soccer Without Borders, like was with the executive director, like Mary Connor. And it was like, it was a very special day because like that day she invited me to the soccer practice. Like right away, I felt valued, welcomed, and I knew at that moment that I wanted to join this team. Feel like SLUB staff models the mission all the time, and even like in the interviews, not like that. So I think this experience, yeah, like you were saying, like this experience, like help to connect with our youth. Definitely, I need to say that I moved here because I decided it was optional. Some of our participants, they don't have that option, that power to decide. Like they just have to do it. But at some level, like the especially like adapting to a new culture, like learning a new language, taking risk every day, like making these like mistakes because you're learning this new system, you can definitely empathize with the participants and they feel that. So definitely this is I would say that I realized that probably when I became a director, but like my background and my biculturalism is one of my best tools. So definitely, yeah, I try to use it like every day to connect in a deeper way with our community. Mm-hmm.
You started to hint at the mission of Soccer Without Borders in terms of how some of the participants may end up in the United States and then start to know about Soccer Without Borders and start to play soccer with the organization. I've heard you describe the mission with a really powerful Imagine story. I'm wondering if you could share that with us today.
Yeah, definitely. I would like you imagine your 12-year-old self, and you've just arrived in a new country, not because you wanted to, but because you needed to. And you left all your friends behind, relatives, perhaps siblings, and even a parent. You don't speak the language and don't understand what people are saying. Everything is different. You're scared, probably, and want to go back home, something that is familiar to you, but you can't. You travel like a lot of miles, like you stay in a shelter for 1 month. You're isolated and don't feel like you belong. Then imagine seeing others your age playing a game that you're familiar with. They motion for you to join, and without saying a word, you're in. And at least for that moment of respite, you feel you belong. You're part of something. You know how to pass the ball. You celebrate a goal with somebody that you just met. I think that Soccer Without Borders, this is what we provide, a sense of belonging. And as an international non-profit, we use soccer to create a more inclusive world, more inclusive communities, like from local to global, supporting like a immigrant, refugee, unaccompanied minors, youth. We provide like soccer education and community activities, to make them feel that, they're included.
That's a really powerful statement and description that you shared. So I really appreciate you doing that. And I wish that all organizations had an imagined story like that, because it would allow me to like feel it, right? Which is really, really helpful for me and other people that are learning about the work that you are doing and the organization's doing. And just one reflection I want to make regarding what you said is it's a really interesting connection to what you shared earlier about your background in geography and home and belonging, and that you found this organization and they found you that are trying to provide a sense of belonging and a sense of home. That's a really, really interesting kind of full circle for you in terms of content and goal. And then, of course, your own lived experience and now the lived experiences of a lot of the participants who may consider themselves refugees or immigrants or newcomers to the United States. So Soccer Without Borders is amazing. You're amazing. In terms of what the organization does a little bit more specifically, could you speak to some of the target audience or participants that you engage and some of the unique programs that you might offer? I know that it's not just soccer.
Definitely, like there are like three specific topics that we want to have like more influence, like to increase like gender equity, racial equity, and community cohesion. So for example, like we had like a Afghan workshop, like there's last year, there were like a lot of Afghan families like resettled like in the US. So we had like also participants from Afghanistan. So we wanted to share some stories and some tools to different organizations who are like, that are receiving these new families to like, yeah, what like the best practices and how can we support better like this community? Or we have like switched the pitch that is like tackling completely like the like combating like racism. How can we use like soccer to tackle like racism like in our communities? The Goal 5 League. Goal 5 is like gender equality. So it's like a league designed for girls. Like what do they need? Like sometimes like coaches and traditional clubs like run leagues like any other like a league. And I think there are like some elements that we can include to make like a more like a comfortable and like inclusive environment for girls, especially like the girls who are like just starting playing soccer. So yeah, that's like kind of like our three main topics.
I'm curious if there are ways that other people either who want to participate in those types of programs or other leaders who maybe want to offer those types of programs, are there ways that they can collaborate with Soccer Without Borders or participate in programming or simply learn from what you're doing? Mm-hmm. Do you have any recommendations for maybe people listening that are really impressed by what you just said in those three programs and are like, I would love to do Switch the Pitch in my community?
Please connect with us. Like we have mm-hmm. all the even like we have a new website, you can go there and see like all the options that we have. And if you want to lead, yes, like hey, we have the tools that we want to provide you, like, and please do it. Like I think we like if we want to grow and reach more kids, sometimes like I think like it's impossible to create and to start a new hub in every single community. They're like already organizations doing amazing job. Like why not like hey, like we have built these tools, we have this experience, like hey, go ahead.
Speaking to the nature of how diverse the participants are that you work with, I understand that many of them can be from different countries, perhaps playing on the same team or in the same activity. And I'm wondering how you or Soccer Without Borders leaders really approach that opportunity or that challenge when maybe the participants don't speak the same language, they don't have the same background, and how you approach that, if it's with a certain level of sensitivity or inclusiveness to really try to provide a positive experience for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think this is all related to our DNA, like our culture, like our organization. I'm going to share like only 2 out of 6 mantras to explain this, like SWB mantras. Our first mantra is we're glad you're here. And like it's immediately setting a positive, welcoming tone is like important for establishing a safe, anti-racist and inclusive space. That's the first one. And the second mantra is leave your shoes at the door. And like this will be community, as you mentioned, like includes people from all over the world, like different beliefs, backgrounds. And we are continuously learning from each other and approach learning with authenticity and humility. I think it's very important. We listen and ask questions without judgment. And we have this line, like every time, like we repeat this line all the time, like we meet youth where they are at. And we try to repeat that in every single team that we start. Like diversity is our strength. It's very common, like we go to like suburbs not to play against another teams, and There's, you don't see any diversity there. And our participants see that. And but our, we send like a clear statement, like this is our strength, like that's like our difference, and that's why this is unique. And you like, we have to embrace that. And if we go against our like diversity, yeah, it's going against ourselves. So yeah, I will say that. Mm-hmm.
I can attest to that just as an outsider, how strong and consistent the Soccer Without Borders organizational culture is in terms of those mantras and providing and creating that welcoming and inclusive and safe space. I've had a few conversations with Soccer Without Borders people during my time, and the mantras always come up. And so I just think, yeah, you're laughing, but it's something that, yeah, I think when you read it, maybe on the website, or, you know, maybe if you're doing a project as a student, it's like, okay, define the organizational culture of, you know, this company or of this organization that maybe you want to start in 5 years. You're like, okay, like, you know, it's inclusive, it's kind, it's learning, but like you live that and you live the mantras. And I think that that's something quite unique and something that really speaks to a way that the organization is connected regardless of the cities that you're functioning in. Because you look at organizations that are in different cities, in different states, even in different countries, as I know Soccer Without Borders is, there needs to be some sort of common thread, even if the work looks a little bit different.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I know that representation in leadership is really important to you, Bruno, and also really important to Soccer Without Borders. I'm wondering if you can speak to that a little bit more and why it's so important in youth programs.
But a few years ago, we had a campaign called like, if she can see it, she can be it. Like, how do you want to break barriers that, for example, like the girls can play soccer if they haven't seen any girls team playing in their community? No. We have that challenge, for example, in East Boston or Chelsea, like there's nothing for girls. And like you go to the parks and there's no girls playing. It's all dominated by males. And this is like a personal story. Like I have a 4 years old daughter that I've been trying to motivate her to play soccer, you know, like since she's like 1, 2. But yeah, without any success. No, but the day that I brought her to a girls' practice, something sparked on her. And she was like sharing with me like, wow, Papa, there are more girls playing. Like, I can do that. Look at me. Like, and she was like trying, like, this is just like a small example of how important is representation, especially in the leadership positions. And we also wanted to send that message to our participants. Like, hey, prepare yourself, stay in school, like follow your passion. You can do it. Like you can get these leadership positions. 32% of our staff right now in SWB are alumni. In Boston, in SWB Boston, 87% of our staff are people of color. Like really, this is a priority for us, and especially for me as a director, this is high priority.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be curious to see how your daughter progresses in sport or out of sport. Sometimes if you're around something too much, you know, the child in all of us is like, oh, I'm not interested. But speaking to what you said, exactly, if you can see yourself in something, you can certainly be it. Are there any lessons that you've learned while working in sport for development?
Lessons. think the most important is like we are all teachers and we are learners. I think it will never work if you want to put like yourself in a like a savior position, like just like you're doing this just like to make you feel better, and that never worked. Like, and actually it's like could be have like negative impacts, no, in like both sides, like the community that you're serving and yourself.
Are there any favorite moments that you can share while working in Sport for Social Impact or living Sport for Social Impact?
We had like a cultural exchange with the State Department and another organization, and like people from Kazakhstan, Mongolia, South Africa, Peru, Uruguay, like came to Boston, and the coaches and participants, it was like a good reminder, like you're not alone, like there are like so many people like doing amazing things like in their communities. That was like inspiring, like to talk to them. And like sometimes it's really easy to just like focus on your thing, like here, like in your community. But yeah, there's like amazing thing happening like around the world.
Now that we know more about our guest's career journey, the rest of our conversation will allow us to have some fun and get to know our guest on a personal level through some rapid-fire questions. We'll then start to wrap up with pointed questions focused on advice and how our listeners can transform interest into action. Enjoy the rest of the conversation. What would you choose, tortas ahogadas or tacos al pastor?
Ooh, tacos al pastor.
Oh, wow. Okay. What other food do you miss from Mexico City?
I like soups. So like pozole, caldo tlalpeño. Like, yeah, I miss that. Yeah.
My understanding is Mexico City is the only city in North America that has 3 pro football teams. I think you are Club America supporter. Is that correct?
I am.
Okay, tell us why and why everyone else should be as well.
Club America, yeah. So why? It's because of that moment that I shared at the beginning. That was my first game. Like in the Aztec Stadium, it was amazing. Everyone was like yellow and blue, and they have like the best players in like the 90s. So it's not very popular. Like it's one of the most popular, but there's like so much rivalry. Like the rest of the teams want always to win, to beat America. Mm-hmm.
All right, we talked about food, sports. What about music? Do you have a favorite music genre or any artists?
I'm like a little bit like eclectic on like the music, but I love to dance. Mm-hmm. So every Saturday here at my house, like we clean up and we play some salsa, bachata, cumbia. That's like the music, like depending the mood, no? Mm-hmm. The mood, but yeah, definitely the Latin music, mm-hmm. I love it, yeah.
Mm. And is there anything else, any other interesting facts or personal tidbits that, you know, if your family listens to this, they're going to be like, oh, Bruno didn't mention that he loves this. Are we missing anything in terms of who you are?
Singing. Yeah, I'm a singer. Like, not... I mean, like, not the best one, but I love karaoke nights.
Yeah? Do you have a go-to song?
Oh, like, yeah, it's like power ballads. It's just like, you need to, like, that emotional, like, power ballads. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's my genre.
Can you rock like Whitney Houston, or are we talking other types of ballads, you know, just to paint the full picture of what I'm expecting when I meet you in Massachusetts someday, or Mexico?
That kind of songs, but like the Mexican version, like Jose Jose, Juan Gabriel, also mariachi. That's I love it.
Wonderful. Oh, I love it. And what about advice for people who are maybe interested in working in sport for development and peace, or working for Soccer Without Borders? Do you have any advice on how to break into the sector?
Well, I've heard like people, especially like young people saying like, but I don't have like the skills yet. I need to prepare myself. I think like, don't like overthink if you're ready or not. Like if you think this is like your passion and you wanna follow this, like skills can be learned, but really like the passion is impossible to teach. And also, really like, yeah, go for it. And and it's even like when I'm like interviewing people, I think like I prefer like someone like really is like, I wanna serve, like I'm ready to serve, like and maybe they're like, they don't have a lot of experience right now, but like really like we have all the tools. In 1-2 months, you're gonna get there with some experience. Like you need to coach, and so with some experience, you're gonna get there. But oof, like the heart is hard. It's hard to find. So
Heart, attitude, openness, and that energy that I know you have is good for people to be thinking about, and really important in getting into this sector and making a difference in this sector.
Yeah.
What tips might you give to someone who will be coaching or teaching newcomers?
Really, like one word? Like if you remember one word in their language, that could completely change everything. Ask questions, ask follow-up questions, like make them feel that really you're interested to connect with them, to start a relationship. I even like to my team, at least once a year, we run like a trivia night with like data and facts of like all the languages and like the countries of our participants, because that small information that you have, even like a soccer player from their country, that like sparks something, and they're like, oh, like you know Sadio from Senegal. So yeah,
that's a cool idea. Yeah, I won't be surprised if you also try to do a karaoke version of that. I'm sure you'd get some fun songs if you tried to represent like 50 countries at your program for a little team building. Anything about networking, how folks can network strategically?
I mean, besides like the traditional like networking, like going to conference or like LinkedIn, like I think one way, I think that is like deeper, takes more time, but it's deeper, is like volunteering for an organization, even like organization that you're interested, or even like the same sector. It is always a powerful way to build like relationship with staff, and also to create a pipeline. Really like, When I have like a new hiring process, my first list is like my volunteers, like who's available, who would be like a good staff. So that could be one way.
Mm-hmm. In retrospect, is there anything you wish you knew before embarking on your sport for development journey?
It was so new for me. Like, I started like from zero, really. Like, so I think just like you need to be just patient, no? And also, like, to be honest, like, if you want to be rich, maybe this is not the place.
Bruno, what is one thing you hope listeners remember from our conversation today?
Well, I think, like, regardless the journey that you choose, like make sure that you choose kindness, no? It sounds like cheesy, no? But it needs only one person to make a difference for a participant, for a kid, for a newcomer. So if you have that opportunity, please do it.
Mm-hmm. How can the audience support you or your work moving forward?
Support me? No, like, I mean, like, I need more friends here, like, LinkedIn. Like, I need to grow my network. Now, feel free to send me any message via LinkedIn. Open communication. You have any question, regardless, like this sector or SWB tools, anything, please feel free to reach out to me and visit our website, soccerwithoutborders.org, be a volunteer, donate, request information, just join our community.
My final question that I love to ask all of my wonderful guests is, mm-hmm. who or what inspires you? And I welcome you to answer in Spanish and maybe mm-hmm. give us a little bit of a translation if you feel so motivated to do so.
Okay. Bueno, empecé esta plática compartiendo algo sobre mi mamá, ¿no? La historia de mi mamá y jugando voleibol. Y para cerrar como el ciclo en esta conversación, también cerraré con ella. Mi mamá, yo tuve el honor y el lujo de compartir 17 años de vida con ella. Y fui testigo de cómo ella luchó contra un cáncer de pulmón por 2 años y medio, a pesar de que todo el mundo le decía que solo tenía 6 meses de vida. Ella fue una luchadora incansable en todo lo que hacía, luchaba por ella y por todos los demás, y siempre llevaré su vida como mi gran inspiración. Sí. I'll try to translate it in English. I started this conversation with you, Erica, talking about like stories with my mom, watching her playing volleyball, and I want to like close this cycle, the circle with her too, like my mom. I had the honor to share like 17 years of my life with her. Like, yeah, I was a witness how she fought against lung cancer for 2.5 years. The doctor said that she only had like 6 months of life, but she was always a fighter in everything, like for herself, but also for everyone, like in like her family, her community. So I always, I always think about her life as my biggest inspiration.
Mm. Thank you, Bruno. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for your time today, all of your insights, sharing your journey in sports and from Mexico City to Massachusetts. And it's just been a real pleasure to get to know you better. So thank you for being a part of this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the invitation. And I said tacos al pastor, but if you send me tortas, I will be more than Okay.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Inspira podcast with Erica Mueller Chen. I really hope you enjoyed the episode and found it useful. Be sure to check out the show notes for links and resources. Specifically, my link tree is there with tons of awesome information. Feel inspired to take action today? I've got 3 action steps you can take right now because you know your girl likes calls to action and the number 3. So here goes. Number 1, follow the podcast on your chosen podcast platform. Number 2, share your feedback with me through the listener survey listed on that link tree. And number 3, tell just one friend about this podcast so they can give it a listen too. And do I have any overachievers out there? I've got a bonus action step, which is to consider supporting me and making sure this passion project prospers. So, number 4, follow the link to buy me a coffee. That would be pretty amazing. Until next time, stay inspired.